Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
You should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got a tasty blonde ale going on this week on this episode.
This is as on time as anything I've had all week, all 2 weeks since I've seen you.
And I picked this up a few weeks ago. Look at this. This was brewed or canned in March. But it's been in the fridge. And we did that small beer from Half Acre not too long ago. And that was the same time I picked up this Light Breaker blonde ale.
Proper glassware. 16-ounce cans. It's delicious. There are no details on this beer, Brad, at all, other than the style.
Yeah, I kind of love and hate the can design.
I've been seeing that a lot from them, right? Am I making that up? I feel like that's their thing now.
Just like, very minimal can design.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they don't have to try very hard. Right? Okay, you're gonna they could just marker it, be like
we're half
new
acre,
beer too, new yeah. week three beer, and people are gonna be like, yeah, cool, all right.
They put the owl with the tentacles on it, and we're done.
Right. They do have a new beer coming out with Solemn Oath and Half Acre tomorrow, Friday, when we're recording this. So I might go pick that up.
Okay.
Which looks good, but. There's not much to say about a blonde ale. Just crisp, refreshing. Just what you want.
Beer flavored beer. It's delicious. Yeah.
So I'm like, what, did it even have a ABV on it?
That's what I'm saying. There's little to no deets on this, man.
I say it's like four. It's gotta be low.
Between four and five. Yeah. That's what I'd say too.
So I'm sure we're gonna crush this whole four pack.
Fuck around and be seven.
Right. Damn. Well, so yeah, we're back in the studio after our little romp. We got the Black Lung episode going up before this episode, and then maybe we'll be back on the road again. But
yeah,
man, it's plenty of things happening in Chicago right now, especially that we're in the middle of Illinois Craft Beer Week, and
the artist formerly known as Chicago Craft Beer Week.
No, and it kicked off with Beer Under Glass the other day.
Or beer under train in some circles.
It's still, there's still a giant glass.
That's true.
Dome.
The great room, as they call it.
Right.
Yeah. At Union Station, classic backdrop there for a remix of sorts for Beer Under Glass. Not your traditional West Side romp at the Garfield Park Conservatory.
Right. And it was sort of a, well, there was a bummer that it was at this location just in general, but... It was a nice...
Loose Keys, man, is on fire today.
It was a nice nice day on that, like, Friday. Some years, Bug is, like, kind of cold. Mm. It's been stormy.
Yeah.
This was the year you want to be outside more than any other Bug.
Yeah. They've passed out grocery bags at the door at some Bugs because... And they insisted you couldn't walk on their grass, which means everyone's walking in the same path, the same muddy path.
Right.
So we've had some we've had our ups and downs at the conservatory. I do agree with that.
All right. So it was just kind of a disappointment we couldn't be outside at all for this festival, especially with how packed it was inside the Great Hall there, and not going to too many beer fests in the last year. We went to FOBAB. We went to another one that I'm like blinking on.
We did?
Maybe I did?
I think we were definitely at FOBAB.
FOBAB.
I felt really weird after FOBAB. Not like sick, just like, man, I can't believe I was with all these fucking people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did I think I went somewhere else?
Well, that was November. FOBAB was November, so you went to something between Christmas and I guess St. Patty's Day?
I feel like I did. Okay. Yeah. But so this was just a lot of people, it felt, in this space. And not that you could be as concerned about COVID or you want, but it was still like just a feeling of, man, I haven't been jammed pack, like bumping into people walking around in like over 2 years.
Yeah.
And that was like a shit. But once you have a few beers in you, you start to feel a little more comfortable about it. But when I first walked in, I was like, man, this is too many people. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I can just, I'll go to the store and get some of these beers.
Right. Now, VIP was an early start for VIP. VIP is at 4:30.
Yeah, and I thought it was 5:30.
Yeah. And then most people, unless you work downtown, you know, most people aren't downtown at 4:30.
Right.
You know? So that's you got to go out your way to be there at like 4:30.
Right. So I spaced on that and got there on 5:30. Fridays are always like the craziest work day for me. The worst work day ever is Friday.
My Fridays are turning into like a second Monday. The feel good Friday is out the window for in most
cases. I'm all for Mondays because people are like just kind of getting in the groove.
Okay.
Friday, everyone has to wrap everything up before the weekend, and they are like the worst days.
Turbo, yeah. Fridays are weird lately. I've said the last couple of years, Fridays have been really weird.
So trying to get out early on a Friday is sometimes very difficult lately. So that was my case this Friday. And I got there at like 5:30, ran into Chet Brett as I was trying to figure out how to like check in. I went in like a back entrance. They're like, oh, you got to go over here. And some lady's like, follow me through all these people. I was like, oh, where am I going? Just give me a badge here. What do you want?
That's funny.
I got my badge, got my glass, and then just wandering around. You ended up not going.
Yeah. Dead daughter time, ran into extra innings. So I had every intention of going, and I looked up, and I'm like, well, shit, it's over in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm just going to continue eating Shake Shack.
And you had to get to the Sox game, too.
Yeah, the Sox game. Had to pick up my Joe Freshgood shoes, pick up that day. That shit ran late. Everything. It was a perfect storm. Perfect storm of shit that I had to do on the Dampa Fest.
All right.
Yeah.
While I was there, it's lame being at a festival, beer festival, like, by yourself. Like, not that I don't know people there.
Right. I mean, you're with 2,000 of your closest friends, Brad. And plus, you know all the brewers.
Yeah. I can run up and talk to people, but... they're not like as interested in trying beers or being like, oh, let's go over to this spot. Oh, let's go over here, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Doing that sort of thing. So it's like a slow roll as you go through it if you're talking to the brewers or anything like that.
Okay.
So you're trying the beers you've had before. I talked to Dan from around the bend. It's like, cool. I had his...
The sours, right?
No, he had the version of the pistachio cream he mentioned.
What is it?
The lemon.
There's Vera is the pistachio cream ale, right?
Yeah, but there was a version of it. Did it have lemon in it?
Okay, so a variant on his pistachio cream ale.
So I talked to him. I've had his beer before. I didn't, for talking to Dan or anybody we run into. But it's like, oh, I kind of want to try some of these other beers I haven't tried.
That's true, and that is the beauty of guild events. You know, whether it's Oak Park Microbrew Review or Bug. Is that all the suburban breweries will come to these parties.
Right.
And that this is probably the only time you'll see all of them in the city.
Right. Yeah. One of the first spots I hit was Goldfinger because I haven't tried their beer. I was like, shit, I gotta try this shit.
Yeah.
It was good. I don't know. It was good.
I mean, you know, they make lagers. And they make them good.
It was a good lager. I should have maybe, like, bounced around. I was drinking a lot of lagers and, like, lighter stuff, so I was kind of drinking those. I probably should have went Goldfinger and then right over to Metro to kind of get a comparison.
Okay.
But I didn't think this through as well.
You could go, well, then also, like we were saying in the pre-show, they had this specific layout. It wasn't alphabetical. It was like regional layout, right?
Right. So if you think about something like FOBAB is broken up into styles of beer.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you were like, oh, I want to try all these lagers, cool, all these lager breweries are here. But, you know, breweries make different things. So they're by brewery in their region. So if it was South Side, Northwest Side, North Side, city, other part.
I thought it was weird how the burbs had their distinction, except for the North Burbs. Yeah, I think it said West Burbs and South Burbs. But for North Burbs, it said Northern Illinois. Okay. It didn't say North Burbs, which is kind of funny. Like, and it was different from the other burbs. I'm like, Northern Illinois, that's just funny.
I guess you... Gurney's not a burb anymore.
Is like that, maybe that's it? Maybe it's literally too... It's like literally too far from the city to call it a burb?
Yeah, it's sort of like... You can make the argument for how far you want the burbs to go is like... Is Naperville really a burb?
Milwaukee's a suburb.
Right, but is Naperville really a burb? It's bigger than a lot of, like, small cities in the U.S., so isn't, or even Aurora.
Is Aurora a suburb?
Right. Yeah. So then is St. Charles a suburb of Naperville? Like, where?
Yeah.
It's, like, the greater Chicagoland.
Listen, Brad, everything from Milwaukee to St. Louis, okay, is a fucking suburb. Okay, there it is. Those are the rules.
I said, like, once you're the DeKalb, that's like my cutoff.
Fair. Like that's Central Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like.
You're.
Then anything beyond DeKalb is a thing after DeKalb. Like.
Yeah, I can't.
You're not allowed to be.
You're not part of Chicago. Do you even get the local channels?
Yeah.
Right. That's the real cutoff.
Do you get mail out there? Is that? Like, but so I tried that. I tried some Goldfinger, bounced around to a few other places. Solemn Oath had a beer that they were brewing that was basically a clone of Orval.
Nice.
And it was Orval Day a few days ago.
No, it's coming up Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
That was the other thing I saw. Orval Day. The Orval Day is Saturday.
Then you got to go to Still Life and get this bottle. Okay. Or one of us has to because this beer is great. We got to drink more of it.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
I got nothing going on.
Go over to Still Life or go out to Naperville.
Probably ride the bike to Still Life.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's this nice bottle, and it's pretty damn close to Orval.
And that's their roots, too, like they were saying in the interview. Like, they started off heavy on the Hoppy Belgian profiles for a lot of stuff in the 10 years ago.
I ran into Bobby the Booch over there. Right. He was recommending that Orval beer from Samo.
Cheers to Bobby the Booch, former guest on the show. Mm-hmm. And then Bob has an extended history. I want to say totally roasted that cider, Vandermill cider.
Yeah.
Maybe Hopleaf, maybe. Or definitely Acre Bark down the street from Hopleaf. Bobby's been around. I think the Booch is like his latest Rev. He was definitely a Rev.
Yeah, we first met him. Ken Huntermeter and I met him. Man, and there was a spot in Printer's Row.
Oh.
And it was like a beer bar / they had like a good burger.
Hackney's.
Hackney's.
Yeah. Hackney's. Oh, Bobby the Booch was there?
Bobby the Booch was like a guy there. And then, didn't he? He was at Sheffield's for a little bit.
That's right, Sheffield's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we first met him at Hackney's.
Hackney's. I remember Hackney's.
Which Hackney's is now next door to Meshuggah.
They do have a couple locations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, which is funny. And then talked to the folks at Bulldog a little bit about what's going on over there.
Yeah.
And what's happened with Wheeling. And, you know, Dan from around the bend was there. And then next to them was Beguile. And I was at Alarmist the other day. Alarmist brewed a beer with Beguile. Mm-hmm. They brewed a 4% barley wine.
That's hilarious.
And
well, I mean, Guinness is a 5% stout, right? So you can have a 4% barley wine, I guess, right?
I guess. I was like,
that's funny.
I was asking him, what is this? Like, did you brew a barley wine just like Lohi V? Did you do a small beer?
Oh yeah, and like second runnings, right?
Yeah. Oh, no. Is it a mild barley wine or something like that? And he's like, no. He's like, it's really a mild that we just calling a barley wine. He's like, it doesn't matter. It literally, you can put anything on this. It doesn't have to. There's no style rules. Like, there's, if you want to enter in the competition, we could have a blonde ale and we could say, this is a stout. This is a
white stout.
White stout. And you'd be like, if it's on the can, it says white stout. It doesn't taste like a white stout, but they can call it that.
Some people will tell you that Belgian Wits, when they stopped selling, they started calling Belgian Wits white IPAs. We know Half Acre, the infamous example of this is the Evening Kolsch, where we assumed it was a Kolsch, but it was actually a dark, small beer. It was a little dark beer.
Right.
But it was called an Evening Kolsch, and a Kolsch is not a dark beer. So. Right.
And it hurts my head to think about a barley wine being 4%, but it's really a mild, which it's on cans at Book Isle right now. And he's like, he's like, in the winter, we're going to do an imperial mild, but that'll be
the barley wine. You know, this is a very alarmist thing to do. This actually doesn't surprise me at all.
It feels like a little like middle finger to everybody, yeah. But then at the same time, it's like, that's hilarious. And if I could have drank a barley wine for 4%, I'm kind of on board. But then I don't know what a barley wine really tastes like, because that's not a barley wine.
They're having fun. It is beer, you know. At the end of the day, it is beer. So that's what
I guess. Funny. Yeah. So I need to go over to Book Isle and like pick up some cans of this. I think it's called, maybe called Paper Hands. I think, okay. Or something like that.
Now, did you make it? You make it to Art History?
Did I do Art History? No.
Okay.
I didn't do that.
Because I did see some of your photos.
Oh, was there LaGrange, a picture of Art History?
I remember LaGrange.
Oh, if there was a picture of Art History, then I did. Yeah. I did try Milk Money.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Milk Money. Yeah.
And so I wanted to try Milk Money. They're over there ringing like a cowbell every time they poured a beer. So it's like a little gimmicky, but kind of fun for them.
Right on. Yeah. And 200 Red Brewing, Glen Allen.
Yeah, this is the guy he worked at Workforce, and before that he worked at Two Brothers.
Okay.
I blank on his name all the time. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, I don't know. 200 Red. Oh, Steve Wardendyke?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I met Steve. yeah. Steve used to run with Dose Bros too, I think, mm-hmm. for a minute. Yeah.
And so right next to 200 Reds was Two Brothers, Workforce, and him.
That's funny.
And he's like, I'm just going down the line.
I didn't know Steve had his own brewery, though. That's pretty cool. Good for him.
I wasn't 100% clear if this is his brewery, because there was someone else with it, or if he's the head brewer, like co-owner.
Right.
I didn't get into details because I was confused on what it was and never hearing it before. And it was pretty good. It was good.
When I saw your pick, I was like, I think this is the first I've heard of this brewery at all. Mm-hmm. Like, period. And there's a few of them like that for me. 93 Octane is one.
Right.
Where I don't know shit about them. There's 200 Red. I don't know anything about them, so.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have even got the 200 Red if I didn't recognize him there.
Right.
If it could have been some other person, I would have been like, nah, skip right. it.
Yeah. I hear you.
But we were talking about the layout a little bit, which is fun, I think, for the community aspect of those breweries and those neighborhoods.
The regions.
But if you don't know where someone is, it's a very hard to like, know, I want to try Milk Money. Or I kind of know they're in the West Burbs and I have to like find them. But like you said, 93 Octane.
I couldn't tell you where they are. The example used in the pre-show was, I wanted to say Banging Gavel. I've heard the name. I remember the name. I couldn't tell you which burb they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody's. So that would be challenging. But, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, like, you have to pick some kind of layout, right?
Right.
So.
And so it was good. Hung out for a little while. Missed Garfield Park Conservatory.
I mean, at its peak, I don't know if there's a better party in the city.
Right.
At its peak, I don't think there's anything better than Garfield Park.
It not being at Garfield Park basically makes it any other beer fest and totally, like, just takes it off the list of a contender of like a top fest.
Now, they did send out a, I guess, what do you call it? They sent out like a media report or whatever, a media preview of the layout. There was supposed to be not a private lounge, but yeah, like I think like a pilot project kind of.
There was a room.
Second room somewhere.
I went in there and yeah, it was all pilot project. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the room.
I didn't like it.
What was happening in here? The only thing I saw that I liked in there was people had like giant pretzels.
Oh.
Which looked interesting.
And I would assume the food came from breweries too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I think Ravinia had stuff. And then Pilot Project had. But I went into the Pilot Project room and I was like, I'm not inclined to try any of these. For some reason, I don't know if it was the room.
So this is, because I don't know.
They had like a DJ going.
Was it upstairs or was it just on the floor, just off into a side room?
It was into a side room.
Okay. Okay.
So I just didn't have anything in there. And my glass was full at the time. And I was like, well, I don't want to try Histrionic because I've had that.
Yeah.
I don't remember who else was in there.
Zai, I think the Middle Eastern brewery.
Okay.
And then the house brand for them. Brewer's Kitchen, I think, is the house brand for Pilot Project.
Okay. And then they had like some sort of hard kombucha.
Oh, yeah. Probably Luna Bay, maybe.
No.
Oh, a different hard. New. Oh, so Luna Bay graduated, and then now another kombucha joint is in there?
Yeah, which I saw this, and this is like a whole other topic, but... Then we were talking about Bobby the Booch, and has that peaked? Has the hard kombucha thing, like...
Well, and because Bobby's Booch was like, what, black tea, right? And that's what made it different than regular Booch?
Yeah, the June shine.
June Booch is dark, is black tea, I think, right?
Okay. But I was like, is this like a... like, with all the seltzers
we
have, why am I picking a kombucha over a seltzer? Which was like my like thought when I saw this. I was like, I don't know if I want a kombucha drink.
I think they have more interesting flavors in the Booch.
Okay.
The Booch family. But
more natural flavors, I guess, than the seltzers.
There's this whole I was going to say antibiotic, but what do you call it? The SCOBY.
Probiotic.
Probiotic. The SCOBY element. I end up drinking more shandies and seltzers than I do Booches,
right.
Not that I do.
It just was like a thought when I saw this. I was like, man, how many people want this? Is it just like the alternative to beer? So it's like, it's good to have that, like a cider and a seltzer or kombucha? Is that sort of like the thought process here?
Yeah. Cider, seltzer, kombucha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's your alternative.
You need one, but probably you need two of the three.
They should really do their own fest. Those just with
kombucha,
hard cider.
Well, what seltzer. Happened to the seltzer fest that we
were? Oh yeah, what happened to that? I didn't hear anything.
COVID happened.
So. That's right. It was supposed to be at a golf course too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, seltzer fest. That's what I would be down for that. That's a good summer pang. Shandies, kombuchas, fucking seltzers and ciders. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm in. It's going to be a train wreck.
Right.
Bring it on.
And if we could, like, drive around in a golf cart.
Are you kidding
the whole
me?
Time. Just go up to booths in a golf cart. Man, that'd be great. Like, drive through.
We need to do this.
That was basically beer under glass. I really hope they find a different location or go back to Garfield Park for next year.
You were saying there's a rumor that it might not ever go. This is heartbreaking. I hope it's not true. But there's a rumor that, you know, that might we might have seen the last beer under glass.
Yes. It was mentioned that, you know, might not go back there. This could have just been the out that they used to, like, basically be like, yeah, we don't like all these people showing up here.
Yeah.
But if there wasn't beer under glass, I would not know Garfield Park Conservatory exists.
That's a fact. I've never been there outside of Bug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've probably seen some TikToks at this point and been like...
Like, that's cool. Yeah, it's a plant museum. Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Right? That's a hit you with the Brad. That's Brad's...
probably not going to go. I'm not heading to Shedd Aquarium, and that looks awesome all the time. I'm like, well, oh, yeah.
I will go to Shedd Aquarium when Will Turner's there rubbing hops, and they made a beer with and celebrated penguins.
Yeah.
That's the only time I'm going.
Yeah, if I had a kid I had to take somewhere... All right, I'd probably go to Shedd Aquarium.
Right. But did I volunteer for a kid trip? Sure. All right, I'm going. Yeah,
but as like an adult person, I'm not just going to, let's go look at some fish.
There's certain places you just don't make it to.
Yeah.
I thought you brought up a good point a couple shows ago about where should we do this that's not, because, you know, it's not the best place for a party, I don't think, at this point, Union Station. It's not the best place for a party. Mm-hmm.
Didn't I say the...
you mentioned...
Adler?
Yeah, you said the Adler. So
it could be beer under stars.
I'm saying that would be a proper substitute for beer under glass at Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. So if it doesn't go back, and I hope it does, I hope it goes back to Garfield. If it doesn't, I hope a place cool that we haven't been like.
We got to bust through that glass ceiling, man.
I'm saying. You know? Is this, you know. So overall, did you have a good time at Bug?
I had a good time. I've tested myself for COVID at least once now to make sure. I felt like, as someone who hasn't caught it yet, as that I know of, that event felt like the spot.
Yeah, you felt like you felt COVID might have been in the air.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell you, like, in order to get into Bug, not Bug, in order to get into FOBAB, I think that's the last big party I went to. In order to get into FOBAB, you had to have a negative COVID test.
Right.
Or proof of X.
But I was just, you know, off topic. I was just reading this thing about, you know, that company that was doing a lot of COVID tests in Chicago got shut down because they were basically not doing them.
And they were just fucking people over, yeah.
So at that time of FOBAB, and the stat is like they missed 96% of the positive cases.
God damn.
So if you got a test and went, or just going to FOBAB, knowing that, you know, there's lots of people with tests and people with vax cards, and now we know it doesn't really matter, but people with negative tests could have been positive and just it said negative. So
I'm gonna pour another beer, man.
Obviously, it's good to know, but if the company doing it isn't worthwhile. But yeah, side note, I'm glad I went. I don't think I have COVID yet. I'm a week out now, right? I should know at this point.
Yeah.
So I feel all right. Okay. Probably the beer.
Okay. Yeah. That's all that matters.
Right. Man, this Bond Ale is tasty.
Yeah, I'm going through a second one. 86 degrees in the city today is kind of hitting the spot. Mm-hmm. I ended up at Sox Park, and I just ended up looking for looking for craft beers on the concourse. So basically, the outfield that used to be bookended by Rev on one end with a club and Goose with a big ass train car. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for what are the craft options out here?
Okay.
And you know, Blue Moon's got their little station now that took over Goose, and then Modelo was always out there.
Right.
So the only beer I found was Zombie Dust, and Zombie Dust was on draft.
Okay.
That was right in the middle. By the Beggar's Pizza, right? But then I walked to the end of the concourse, and I found Gumball Head.
Oh, okay.
So that is it.
And this is this on the, like, 100 level or the 500?
The 100 level. Okay. 100 level concourse that's behind the outfield. So if you were to walk down to the Craft Cave, you could get everything, 60 options. But just, like, if you don't want to walk down those stairs, and you don't want that lady putting her fingers all over your fucking beer, and that's another thing, that's a side note, like, you're supposed, everything's in cans at this joint. It's a ballpark. You're supposed to open it. The rule is you can't buy it and not have it open. Right. So the right thing to do would be to say, hey, could you please open your beer? I can't let you leave unless you open it.
Right.
But some of these cashiers take it into their own hands, and they fucking put their crummy hands all over your fucking beer and open it. Now, some of them are different. They use the extended flat
opener,
and they'll do that. And that's I'm with that.
Okay.
But not everyone does that, and it pisses me off. Okay. That's my rant. Oh, but
I didn't think about that the time I went, but I think we're going to go to a game here about a month. Yeah. We're, like, looking at seats and to get, and I think we'll kind of get some seats maybe over near the Craft Cave side. Like, not, I think the ticket prices usually go, like, well, I think it's like $75, and then it's like $45, and then $30 kind of in the back. So probably in that, like $45 range.
Yeah, like the bleacher seats will probably be a little cheaper than like the 100 level seats with the actual individual seats.
Yeah, so we'll get some real seats, but,
you know, yeah.
But over by the Craft Cave area, so we have that option. But Gumball Head's over there too.
Yeah, so. But that's all I did there.
All right. I did make a couple other stops. I hit up, like I was mentioning, Alarmist. Hung out there for a little bit. I went over to Metro.
Right on.
Said some Jitterator.
That's the coffee one on Nitro.
Yeah.
Man, that's good. I think that's their best beer.
Top notch. Man. It was great. And it was busy over there. Every little kid was having a birthday party that day.
Really?
Little.
You can have kids at Metro.
You have kids there, and they have birthday parties there.
I guess I didn't know that. Because I've never seen kids there.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was like two different, like 2 to 4-year-old birthday parties happening.
That's funny. I saw the distillery opened up over there now too. Judson.
Oh, that's open now?
Judson and Valley?
The law firm?
Law firm slash bourbon producer over in, is there a name for that little mall? Because there's a coffee joint in that mall too, in Avondale.
I don't know. Did we mention that we heard that this was going to be the Finch location?
Oh, yeah.
In the Finch rumor. Not rumor, in the Finch, like, saga.
Yeah, the saga is a good word for the Finch.
That we heard
the legend of Finch.
If anyone listening remembers when Finch released renderings of, like, a brew pub on the river.
Yep.
You could, like, walk out there. Almost looks like kind of like the downtown spots.
A ridiculous size, too, like 75,000 square feet. And at the time, I don't know, 8 years ago or whatever, people are like, why the fuck would Finch, of all breweries, be having these such grand plans?
Yeah.
You know, I always assumed it was on the old Goose Island, you know, like the actual Goose Island near Halsted and Chicago Ave, like at that part of the river.
That's what I thought, or where like Passion House Coffee is, maybe like
there. Exactly. Yeah. Or by Passion House or by the Tribune Tower. Yeah. I mean, building, the Tribune building, right? Mm-hmm. Right over there.
Where the casino's going?
Yeah. So basically River North-ish.
Right.
Like right downtown. But no, we're talking to... was it Mike Jacobs, pub brewmaster at Goose, a former member of Finch? And he said, no, the Metropolitan space was the goal of Finch that whole time.
Wow.
And my mind was blown. I'm like, yeah. That's hilarious. Yeah. adds another wrinkle to the legend of Finch. Because every time I ride my bike down Elston, I ride past, you know, one of the original Finches. Not, you know, obviously not the Twisted Hippo one, but the one before that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just reminded of, like, man, Finch has had, like, four different spots around town. It's kind of funny.
Crazy. I'm speechless for
that. Yeah.
But, yeah, I stopped at Metro, and I think that was the only other... Oh, I went to a dry hop.
Oh, right on. Cheers to dry hop. Haven't been there in a while.
I am, like, I went, what was it, Corridor, like, a few, maybe, like, a month ago, and now dry hop. Is no one brewing beer at these spots? There was like four beers at Dry Hop, and there was like only four beers on at Corridor, and there was like the same like classic beers. Like it felt like somebody is like phoning it in.
Shark hates hipsters and whatever else they make.
Yeah. I was like, I think there was a wit beer, a pale ale, a hazy. And maybe like one other one. It was like, what is this? You guys don't, literally, I think they don't care. That's what it felt. When I saw that menu, I was like, there's four options in your brew pub?
Man, it's rough out here. They're also a restaurant. And I remember when they opened, they said they wanted to just be a brewery, but the neighborhood said, oh, we got enough bars, you got to be a restaurant.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they're leaning into that more than they are the beer. Right.
Right. And this was that Corridor too where I felt like
everything scaled back.
Yeah, it is like not bothering with it. We'll just do the hits and whatever.
And that's it. And come get this world class salad.
Well, Fry Hop doesn't have a salad.
Oh, Corridor.
They got the pizzas and they got the burger.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So I went there, it was good. Ended up then at the Chicago Fire game.
Oh, you've been there?
Yeah. You know, not great. You were like, oh, but I did find Daisy Cutter. We found Daisy Cutter.
There we go.
There was six. I looked back behind the counter, got my binoculars out, and I was like, that's Daisy Cutter.
You
and
saw
there
it.
Was six cans, and there was four of us. I was like, give us those Daisy Cutters.
All of them, right now. Let's go. Yeah.
But there's Anti-Hero at the park, which is always good. Then we... We're in the VIP section. They had some line in Google stuff, like a lemon shanty kind of thing.
Right on. I went to Wrigley last year, and I was on the upper deck, and the only thing you could find was Daisy Cutter. And Virtue Cider. So after that, I just started drinking the Cubby margaritas. You can get a fancy cup, you know, like a jar cup.
Yeah.
Or you can get a whole fucking bucket. Okay. They fill the bucket with ice and marg. That's really how you need to go if you're at Wrigley. That place kind of sucks. You're going to walk around the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, went over Chicago Fire. I've been to both Big Stars this week.
That's funny.
Drinking some margaritas.
Man. They got, yeah, I think it was Beer Atom that put in that system where they batch those margaritas now.
Mm. Nice. I don't know. Been all over the place lately.
Dude, Jonathan Cutler died.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, so.
I forgot. We got to talk about that. What happened?
I have no fucking idea. I think Tribune Noel, his thread said that Jonathan Cutler was laid off in 2020. And that's when Metal Steve took over.
What?
Right. How do you do that? The most.
How do you lay off? Yeah. How do you lay him off? I thought he was like a co-owner.
Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like he was frustrated that they put in Bro Bagel next door as opposed to selling more beer.
Right.
And doing like an out the door kind of maybe can or bottle thing. He didn't really agree with that. And then it sounds like that's one source. But it sounds like if you trust Noel that they laid him off in 2020. I was looking at their IG feed and. It's Metal Steve's been there since 2019 in photos on their IG feed.
Right. Well, so, he was the assistant brewer.
Right. Right.
But then we talked about, you know, in one of our like basement episodes, him going to the Faroe Islands, opening a brewery there.
Yeah, that was the rumor. You know, Half Acre's going away party at Lincoln. We ran into a guy who was there who sat next to Cuddy, and Cuddy told him about the Faroe Islands. We mentioned it on an episode.
Was this the president?
No, it wasn't the president.
Okay. We can't trust the president.
No, the mayor. He was the mayor.
Was it the mayor?
No, the mayor didn't say that. But I'm saying that the mayor. We can trust the president. We can't trust the mayor.
Okay.
Because the mayor is like a self-appointed title. The president is actually a president of Half Acre.
Okay.
But no, it was neither one of them. Okay. It just happened to be the going away party at Half Acre Lincoln. But yeah, Cuddy. I would say Cuddy, heavyweight guest on the show. Right, I think we've had some classic guests. I would say the Metro Gang. I would say Gabriel from Half Acre. We've had them on the show. We've had the Brewmaster Goose, both locations on the show. But I think Cuddy is probably near the top, maybe at the top of that list. But, maybe.
Man, like there is like so many questions. When I saw this announcement, like at first, I think I was just scrolling past Instagram. I was like. Cool, like pieces announcing he left. Like I didn't read what it was, and then someone else sent it to me. I was like, "Yeah, oh wait, what?"
Yeah, saw Gary Valentine posted, and Gary Valentine, who's been on the show, he's Iron Chef Stephanie Iser's husband. But then he also used to teach at Siebel. Mm-hmm. Not like he's just Stephanie's husband.
Yeah, mostly that's his. Yeah.
And then Rob Salvatore, who's like a you know longtime beer distributor guy, they both posted it, and then I saw Peace post it. And I'm like, well, two things. I'm like, man, this is fucked up that this is the only time Peace has mentioned Cuddy since he left.
Right.
At all is when he died. I think that's fucked up. But then, like, yeah. And then, like, seeing he was laid off, that was fucked up. It made me go back and watch our episode that we did with him.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And
when was like, much younger.
Yeah. Much younger. Everyone's looking young and tender in this video. But and then there's one. So he's from Libertyville, Illinois. He started at out of college. He started at Leinekugel when he was commuting from Chicago to a Leinekugel location in Milwaukee. And that was his first experience before the Sierra Nevada, before the Goose thing, right? And he's brewed with everybody from you know from Nick Floyd to the Half Acre guys to who's our guy at Firestone Walker who used to Matt Brendelson, you know. Mm. So then I'm looking at all the views on the YouTube that we did, and then the comments, and there's one comment, and it's from his dad, Dick Cutler.
Right, because his dad died, I don't know, about 3 years ago now?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know if he died. No, he died before COVID, right?
Yeah.
That's like crazy to me. Like his dad was like all there. I don't know. He felt like he was like going to more stuff than Cutler was going to, and he was around town. More people knew his dad. Than they did Jonathan Cutler.
I'm trying to tell you, man. I work in Lake Forest, so I was in Libertyville at fucking Firkin. Firkin's a really good bar. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to be sitting next to this dude with this long-ass mustache. And he's like, yeah, my son works at Peace downtown. And it was just such a random conversation because we're in Libertyville. It's so far from the city.
Yeah.
And it ended up being Dick Cutler. And he ended up talking about Jonathan. And it ended up being like, yeah, that was my dad. He does it. he really was hanging out at Firkin telling you I work at Peace. I thought it was hilarious and amazing. And yeah, and now they're both gone. That sucks, man. So
that's. I was just kind of in a little bit of a shock that it just didn't make sense. Although you know, when a lot of people die, you're like, it doesn't make sense. Like what happened here.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of questions that most people who know Jonathan Cutler aren't going to know or be close enough to know like how it happened or what happened.
He doesn't have Facebook or any kind of social media. Right. You know, he's one of those kind of guys. And I know a couple people like that. It's kind of weird, man. I think about my Chicago Mount Rushmore, right? And I think about how important it is to talk about, like, you know, the educational piece, you know, the Siebel's or even the Cicerone program, and how that piece of beer education plus all these different breweries in Chicago and these events make Chicago kind of special for beer. But shit, Jonathan Cutler's got like 33 awards in World Beer Cup and GABF competition, right?
Right.
So for me, I would put, you know, I'd say John Hall, Ray Daniels, Pete Crowley, and I'd put Jonathan Cutler on that list of a Mount Rushmore, right?
I feel like maybe, I think that's a great list. I feel like some people may question the Pete Crowley call, but I feel like he did a lot for the Guild. He started most of the events. I don't know who you would replace him
with. Park, he started. Right. Oak Park was his idea. Phobab was his idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and really the anchor of the West Loop beer movement was Haymarket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. And that's just, you know, those types of lists are subjective. But I'm thinking, like, you don't...
That's Mount Rushmore. It's hard to add people to the classic lineup, right? Yeah.
But I don't know if you can talk about a lot of people in Chicago beer before you get to Cuddy, right? I think he's really high up on, like, how important that run is in modern beer. Like, there's nothing like it. You'll never see that again.
Right. I think Pete's had a huge impact on a lot of beer in Chicago, and anyone who's drinking today doesn't even know basically like the diamond that Peace was.
Yeah.
It's still great, but 10 years ago you had like you had 10 options, really.
That's true.
Two of them were Goose.
Yeah, you know, I think Metro had just come online, and so did Half Acre,
right,
and everything else was brand, there was nothing else.
Right.
And you had Peace, who was winning awards every year. Yeah.
Yeah, no Rev at that time.
Yeah, you could really swap out, I think, Greg Hall for John Hall, I think.
I think people...
Greg made...
People enjoy John as a person more than Greg.
Fair. That's fair. And the John wears less overalls than Greg, too. Every time I see Greg Hall... He's in fucking overalls.
But yeah, you could make the argument that, you know, Craig, you know, has virtue or did virtue now.
And Bourbon County Stout. Yeah. Sure. It's kind of a big deal. Yeah. But yeah. Oh. But yeah, man. Rest in peace to Jonathan Cutler. Yeah.
Cheers. Well, man, I feel like that's the note to end it on. But we did have a couple events we wanted to mention. One is Stout Fest.
Yeah, Stout Fest at Goose. This is a 2-session affair. One is Saturday, one is Sunday. Tickets are $77. Yeah. The Sunday 11 a.m. slot sounds really nice, Brad. You know? That's a proper party right there.
Get on it, man. Go.
All right. I think
it's on you. I went to Bug. You got to go to this.
Is Mayfest anniversary? I think Mayfest anniversary is this weekend.
I think that's next week.
Next weekend?
The 27th and 28th or 28th and 29th. It's basically Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. And then Orval Day is coming up.
This Saturday, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Salmos is releasing a beer before that. I wish I could remember the name of it, but there was the photo on the story. It's there. I almost want to, almost if we get a bottle of that, we need to get a bottle of Orval and do a Versus.
Yeah, if West Lakeview is open, they would definitely have the Orval or Beer Temple, whichever.
Yeah, a beer brewed in the style of Orval versus Orval. I feel like that's the plan here. We got to do it.
Orval Trappist Ale was the first bread beer to land on U.S. shores and has become a favorite of American brewers.
Okay.
Yeah, Matilda is kind of inspired by Orval.
Right, yeah.
So, okay.
Cool. Anything else before we wrap up this episode?
Man, I think that's it, Brad.
Cool. I think we're almost out of all this light breaker blonde ale from Half Acre.
Yeah, man.
If you see cans of this, if you're over at the brewery, pick it up. It could be a very easily crushable summer beer.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
So that's going to do it. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Chicago Beer Pass. Episodes get posted there. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.